Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avram Goldhar and Tirim Masechus Yuma Daf Yud Aleph. The first parak, Shiva's Yummy. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Rabbanan taught in the Brisa, the Pasuk says, Ubisharecha, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This teaches that whether they are gates of houses, gates of courtyards, gates of provinces, or gates of cities, Yesh ben chovas mitzvah lamakam, they all have a chi of mitzvah to the omnipresent, for it says, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The word gates is plural. Rashi explains that shari medinos, gates of provinces, require mezuzahs in a case where the province is surrounded by mountains and forests for many miles, and people can only enter through gates. He mentions the land of Hagar, which is presumably Hungary, as an example of such a province. Point number two is taught in a braisa, in the case of a kippah, a curved archway, Rav Meir requires a mezuzah, and the Chamim exempt it from a mezuzah. But they agree that if its legs, referring to the archway sides, have a height of 10 fachim before they begin to arch inward, the archway requires a mezuzah, since we can entirely ignore the curved portion and use the vertical sides of 10 fachim as the side post. Abai clarifies that Rav Meir and the Chamim disagree in a case when the archway is 10 fachim high, and the archway's legs have a height of 3 tfachim before the opening between them narrows to less than that of 4 tfachim. But the archway is not 4 tfachim wide along the entire minimum height of 10 tfachim. V'yesh ben l'chok l'hashlim l'arba. However, the wall surrounding the archway is large enough to allow one to carve into it to complete the entranceway to the full 4 tfachim along the height of the 10 tfachim. Rav Meir holds, Chokikim Hashlim, we view the entrance as if it's enlarged since it has potential to do so, but the Rabban hold, Ein Chokikim Hashlim, we do not take the potential into account, but consider the archway as it presently stands. Point number three, is Tana Braisa, Basic Nesses, Basic Ishu, Basic Shutfin, Chayevis B'mezuzah, Shul, a house of a woman, and a house owned by partners require a mezuzah. Now one might have thought, Beisecha, your house, implies, and not her house, and not their houses, referring to a shul, and a house owned by partners. The Gemara asks why we don't actually derive these conclusions, and answer because the next pasuk states, "L'man yirbu yemechem yebevenechem," in order to increase your days and the days of your sons. Hanu boy chaye, v'hanu lo boy chaye. Do these people who own houses independently have a need for a long life, but not women and partners? Of course not. The Gemara then asks them, "What is the need for the pasuk stating beisecha?" And brings Rav who answers, "Derech biascha." The word "your house" may be read "your entry," indicating that the mezuzah should be affixed the way you enter. And when a person lifts his feet to enter a house, he lifts his right foot first. The Torah therefore teaches that the mezuzah should be affixed on the right side as a person enters. So once again, the three topics are, number one, the Rabbanan taught in the Braisa, the Pasuk says, Ubisharecha, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This teaches that whether they are gates of houses, gates of courtyards, gates of provinces, or gates of cities, Yesh behen chovas mitzvah l'makom, they all have a chi of mitzvah to the omnipresent, where it says, Uksavtam amuzos beisech ubisharecha, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The word gates is plural. Rashi explains that shari medinos, gates of provinces, require mezuzahs in a case where the province is surrounded by mountains and forests for many miles, and people can only enter through gates. He mentions the land of Hagar, which is presumably Hungary, as an example of such a province. Point number two is taught in a braisa, in a case of a kippah, a curved archway. Rabbi Meir requires a mezuzah, and the Chamim exempt it from a mezuzah. But they agree that if its legs, referring to the archway sides, have a height of 10 tefachim, before they begin to arch inward, the archway requires a mezuzah, since we can entirely ignore the curved portion and use the vertical sides of 10 tefachim as the side posts. Abai clarifies that Rabbi Meir and the Chamim disagree in a case when the archway is 10 tefachim high and the archway's legs have a height of 3 tefachim before the opening between them narrows to less than that of 4 tefachim. But the archway is not 4 tefachim wide along the entire minimum height of 10 tefachim. However, the wall surrounding the archway is large enough to allow one to carve into it to complete the entranceway to the full 4 tefachim along the height of the 10 tefachim. Rav Meir holds, Chokikim Hashlim, we view the entrance as if it's enlarged, since it has the potential to do so. But the Rabban hold, Ein Chokikim Hashlim, we do not take the potential into account, but consider the archway as it presently stands. And point number three, it was taught in a braisa, Basic Nesus, Basic Isha, Basic Shutvin Chayevas, Bemezuzah, a shul, a house of a woman, and a house owned by partners require a mezuzah. Now, one might have thought Beis Echa, your house, implies and not her house and not their houses, referring to a shul and a house owned by partners. The Gemara asks why we don't actually derive these conclusions and answers, because the next pasuk states, L'man yirbu yamechem yimei benechem, in order to increase your days and the days of your sons. Hanu bo echaye, v'hani lo bo echaye. Do these people who own houses independently have a need for a long life, but not women and partners? Of course not. So the Gemara then asks, then what is the need of the pasuk stating Beis Echa? And brings Rabbah, who answers, Derech Biyasecha. The word your house may be read, your entry, indicating that the mezuzah should be fixed the way you enter. And when a person lifts his feet to enter a house, he lifts his right foot first. The Torah therefore teaches that the mezuzah should be affixed on the right side as a person enters. All right, so now we go to our Simver Daf Yud Alef, and our standard simon is stars, like the 11 stars in Yosef's dream. So here goes. In their attempt to break the world record for the largest number of mezuzahs in a single province, the inhabitants stuck gold stars over every gate and made sure to include curved archways, shuls, and women's houses on the right side as people enter. Once again, in slow motion. In their attempt to break the world record for the largest number of mezuzahs in a single province, the inhabitants stuck gold stars. Gold stars, that must mean we're on Daf Yud Aleph. In their attempt to break the world record for the largest number of mezuzahs in a single province, the inhabitants stuck gold stars on every gate, which reminds the Rabban taught in a brace. The pasuk says, Ubisharecha, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, plural. This teaches that whether they are gates of houses, gates of courtyards, gates of provinces, or gates of cities, they have the Chovas Mitzvah of mezuzah. Rashi explains that Shari Medinos, gates of provinces, require mezuzahs in a case where the province is surrounded by mountains and forests for many miles and people can only enter through gates. So in their attempt to break the world record for the largest number of mezuzahs in a single province, the inhabitants stuck gold stars on every gate and made sure to include curved archways, which reminds us, it was taught in Bryce, in the case of a kippah, a curved archway, Rabbi Meir requires a mezuzah, and the chamim exempted from a mezuzah. Abai clarifies that Rabbi Meir and the chamim disagree in a case when the archway is 10 tefachim high, and the archway's legs have a height of 3 tefachim, before the opening between them narrows to less than that of 4 tefachim. But the archway is not 4 tefachim wide along the entire minimum height of 10 tefachim. V'yeshba l'chok l'hashim l'arba, however, the wall surrounding the archway is large enough to allow one to carve into it to complete the entranceway to the full 4 tefachim along the height of the 10 tefachim. Rabbi Meir holds chokikim l'hashlim. We view the entrance as if it's enlarged since it has potential to do so, but the Rabban hold ein chokikim l'hashlim. We do not take the potential into account, but consider the archway as it presently stands. So in their attempt to break the world record for the largest number of mezuzahs in a single province, the inhabitants stuck gold stars over every gate and made sure to include curved archways, shuls, and women's houses on the right side as people enter. Which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa, basic nesses, basic isha, basic shutfin, chayevis, but mezuzah. A shul, a house of women, and a house owned by partners require a mezuzah. One might have thought, Beis Echa, your house, implies, and not her house, and not their houses, referring to a shul and house owned by partners. The Gemara asks why we don't actually derive these conclusions and answer, because the next pasuk states, L'man yirbu yamechem yimei menechem, in order to increase your days and the days of your sons. Hanu bo echai, v'hanu lo bo echai. Do these people who own houses independently have a need for a long life, but not women and partners? Of course not. The Gemara then asks, then what's the need of the pasuk stating Beis Echa? And brings Rav, who answers, Derech Biyascha, the word your house may be read your entry, indicating that the mezuzah should be affixed the way you enter. And when a person lifts his feet to enter a house, he lifts his right foot first. The Torah therefore teaches that the mezuzah should be affixed on the right side as a person enters. So once again, in their attempt to break the world record for the largest number of mezuzahs in a single province, the inhabitants stuck gold stars over every gate and made sure to include curved archways, shuls, and women's houses on the right side as people enter. All right, so now it's time to go to our four-block back chazara. Dav Zayin, so the Simmer Dav Zayin is a gun, a clay Zayin, gun. So here goes. The sniper with a gun, that must mean we're on Dav Zayin. The sniper who shot the sheretz that landed on the omer in the hands of the kohen as it was being offered, which reminds us that Rav Sheshes brings the following as the source for his ruling, the Tumah Dechuyeh, but Sibur, it was taught in a bright that if a kohen standing and offering the omer and it became tummy in his hand, he tells other kohanim they bring another one in its place. If there's no other barley from the new crop available, we tell him, Havi pekeach v'shesok, be wise and remain sound. We see, though, that when there is another omer available, it is brought in place of the original one, which implies Tumah Dechuyeh b'tzibur. Rav Nachman, who holds Tumah Hutrah b'tzibur, answered that he agrees heka de eka shirayim l'achila, that in cases where there are remnants fit for consumption, it's preferable to avoid making the communal offerings in Tumah. Rashi explains that even though a communal offering may be offered in a state of Tumah, Without reservation, it cannot be eaten in Tumah except for the Pesach. So when an offering is meant to be eaten, we do what we can so it can be eaten in a state of Tahara. So the sniper who shot the Sheretz, the land and the Omer in the hands of the Kohen as it was being offered, davened on Yom Kippur that he attained atonement when the Kohen Gadol went into the Kodesh Kodoshim without his tzitz. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings Malchukas Tanan regarding Tumah Hutra Hibat Zibur or Duchuyu Hibat Zibur. It was taught in a brace that Rabbi Shimon says that the tzitz is Maratza whether it's on the Kohen Gadol's forehead or not. Rabbi Yehuda says it's only Maratza when it's on his forehead. Rabbi Shimon challenged Rabbi Yehuda based on the fact that the tzitz is not on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur when he performs the inner avoda, and yet it's still Maratza. Rabbi Yehuda replied that a proof from Yom Kippur is not effective since Tumah Hutra Lo Betzibur, because Tumah is permitted for him in regard to the community, and the tzitz is not needed to affect acceptance of the communal offerings. Rashi explains that the entire inner avoda consists of communal offerings. The Gemara concludes that this b'risa implies that Rabbi Shimon holds Tumah Dechuyah Hibetzibah, that Tumah is merely overridden in regard to the community, and that tzitz is in fact needed to affect acceptance for a communal offering. So the sniper who shot the Sheretz that landed in the Omer in the hands of the Kohen as it was being offered, davened in Yom Kippur that he attained atonement when the Kohen Gadol went into the Kodesh Kodashim without his tzitz, which he also never wore when he went to sleep. Which reminds us, Abai said that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda agree that if the tzitz is broken, it's not maratza. They disagree when it's hanging on a peg, meaning that it's intact, but the Kohen Gadol is not wearing it. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not maratza because the pasuk states, Al metzach benasa, it shall be on the Aaron's forehead, so that he shall bear the sin of the sacred offerings, implying that it is only maratza while it's on his forehead. Rabbi Shimon holds that it is still maratza, even when it's not worn. As it says, Tamid v'ratzam livnei Hashem, it shall be on his forehead always to bring them favor before Hashem. Rabbi Shimon said that the meaning of Tamid always cannot be literal. For how then does the Kohen Gadol go to the bathroom or go to sleep? He certainly is not permitted to wear the tzitz during those times. Ela Tamid Maratzahu. Rather, the term Tamid always means that the tzitz is always Maratzah even when it's not worn. Daf Ches, so the standard sim for Daf Ches is a challah. So here goes. The baker commissioned to bake challahs. Challahs, that must be more in Daf Ches. The baker commissioned to bake challahs for Kohanim when they were sequestered. Watch them walk from their daily huzzah into their chambers, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a three-way machlokes tonight regarding huzzah for the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur, and for the Kohen will burn the paraduma. According to Rabbi Meir, they would both be sprinkled upon all 7 days of their separation. Rabbi Yossi says they would only be sprinkled upon the third and seventh days, and Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim says, the Kohen Asorf is a par mazinu of Koshiva, the Kohen who was burning the par would be sprinkled upon during all 7 days, but the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur would be sprinkled upon only on the third and seventh days. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi both hold tevila bezmana mitzvah, immersion at its appointed time, is a mitzvah, meaning it must be done immediately upon the conclusion of one's tumah period. But they disagree whether makshinin hazal l'tevila. Rabbi Meir does, and Rabbi Yossi does not. Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim also does not make the comparison, and he holds that sprinkling the kohen who's to burn the parduma all 7 days is ma'al ba'alma, merely a stringency. So the baker commissioned to bake challahs for Kohanim when they were sequestered. Watch them walk from their daily huzzah into their chambers. One for Tahara, where no one could touch him, and the other for Kedusha, which reminds us, it was taught in Braisa, that there is no difference between the Kohen who burns the Paraduma and the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, except that regarding the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur, his sequester is for Kedusha, and his fellow Kohanim may touch him. Rashi explains that as the Kohen Gadol prepares to enter the Machane Shechina, we need to prevent him from being haughty or frivolous, so being put in solitude will make him reflect on his mission. However, there's no reason to forbid visitors from touching him. Whereas regarding the Kohen who will burn the Paraduma, his sequester is for Tahara, for purification, and his fellow Kohanim cannot touch him. Rashi explains that the purpose of a sequester was to be more machmir in his purity as a counterbalance to the kula of contaminating him and immersing him on the day of the burning to repudiate the opinion of the Tzedukim. So the baker commissioned to bake challahs for Kohanim when they were sequestered. Watch them walk from their daily huzzah into their chambers, one for Tahara where no one could touch him, and the other for Kedusha, which was in the middle of renovations again. Which reminds us, it was taught in a brace that Rabbi Yehuda says that the Lishkas Parhedon was originally called the Lishkas Balvate, the chamber of Balvate, meaning aristocrats, because the Kohanim Gadolim of that era were honorable men. Later they became wicked as they paid the king for their position instead of attaining it on their merits, and they died every year. As a result, the chamber was remodeled every 12 months for its new resident, and it was similar to the low-level appointees of the king called Parhedron, who were replaced every 12 months. Therefore, they called it the Lishkas Parhedron. Daf Tes of the Simmer Daf Tes is a teapot. So here goes. More than 300 Mazel Tov in your new position teapots. That must be more on Daf Tes. More than 300 Mazel Tov in your new position teapots were smashed, which reminds us, Rabbi Baruch Hanna said in the name of Yochanan, what's the meaning of that which is written, Yiras Hashem Tosif Yamim, Ushnos Rishayim Tiksorna? The fear of Hashem will increase days, but the years of the wicked will be short. And the fear of Hashem will increase days is a reference to Mikdash Rishon, which stood for 410 years, and throughout that period, only 18 Kohanim Gadolim served in it. But the years of the week will be shortened is a reference to Mikdashani, which stood for 420 years, yet more than 300 Kohanim Gadolim served in it. So more than 300 Mazel Tov on your position teapots were smashed and piled up high in front of a cafe with three pictures of destroyed temples hanging on the walls, which reminds us Shul was destroyed because of two things that were present there, immorality and irreverence of the Kachim. The Gemara explains that the morality was the behavior of Eliyahu Cohen's sons, who delayed the women bringing burnt offerings, which prevented them from returning home to their husbands, and the irreverence to Kachim was that they had their servants take the meat of the Shlamim before they were entitled to them. Rabbi Yochanan continues and states that Bais Rishon was destroyed because of three things: Avodah Zorah, Gilui Arayis, and Shfichus Damim. Why was Bais Sheni destroyed when we know they were involved with Torah, Mitzvot, and Gemilas Hasadim? Because of Sinas Chinam. This teaches that Sinas Chinam is equal to the three cardinal sins of Avodah Zorah, Gilui Arayis, and Shfichus Damim. So more than 300 Mazel Tov on your new position teapots were smashed and piled up high in front of a cafe with three pictures of destroyed temples hanging on the walls and where people sat and drank coffee, pretending to be friends. Which reminds Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar both said, Rishonim Shinskala Avonim Niskala Kitzam, the earlier ones whose iniquity was revealed had their end revealed. Rashi explains that during Bais Rishon, people transgressed openly and made no effort to conceal their transgressions. Therefore, Yirmiyahu prophesies that the Galus and Bavel would last 7 years. Acharonim Shel Niskala Avonim Niskala Kitzam, the later ones whose iniquity was not revealed, their end was not revealed. Rashi explains that the people during Bais Sheni did their transgressions in secret. The Maharsha says they harbored unwarranted hatred toward their fellow men in their hearts, while in public they would eat and drink together. Daf Yud. So the Simmer Daf Yud is a minion of Yidden. So here goes. The minion of Yidden, That must be more in Daf Yud. The minion of Yidden that was played by noisy children running through, playing Persians versus Romans, which reminds us, Rabbi Shubin Levi said in the name of Rabbi, Asi the Romi Shetipo Biyad Pras, Rome is destined to fall into the hands of Persia, based on a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Eli also said that Rome will fall into the hands of Persia, based on a Kal Vachomer. Rav said, Asi the Pras Shetipo Biyad Romi, Persia is destined to fall in the hands of Rome, when he was questioned whether it made sense that the builders, referring to Persia, should fall into the hands of the destroyers, referring to Rome. He answered, yes, Gezeres HaMelechi, such is the decree of the king. Others say, the Rav answered that Persia also destroyed many synagogues. So the minion of Yidden that was played by noisy children running through playing Persians versus Romans finally convinced the kids after 9 months to play Mashiach times, which reminds Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav that Mashiach will not come until the wicked kingdom of Rome has overrun the entire world for 9 months. As it says in Michal, Chen Yidden Ad Eis Yoleda Yolada, V'yeser Echav Yeshuvun Al Bnei Yisrael, therefore he will surrender them until the time that one gives birth. Then the rest of his brothers, referring to the Mashiach's brothers, will return with Bnei Yisrael. Rashi on the Pasuk explains that after 9 months, the rest of the Mashiach's brothers, referring to the rest of Shevet Yehuda, will join the other Shvatim and form a unified kingdom in Eretz Yisrael. So the minion of Yidden that was plagued by noisy children running through playing Persians versus Romans finally convinced the kids after 9 months to play Mashiach times inside a little chamber that wasn't a prison because it had a mezuzah affixed to the door. Which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa kol shakosh hayah b'mikdash, all the chambers in the base of Mikdash had no mezuzahs except for the Barhedron chamber, since it served as a dwelling for the Kohen Gadol the week before Yom Kippur. Rav Yudah said that there were several chambers that served as dwelling places, referring to the places where the Kohanim Levim who guarded the base of Mikdash would stay, yet they had no mezuzahs. Rather, it was a derabbanan requirement that the Lishkas Barhedron had a mezuzah. The Gemara on Amud Beis brings Rava's explanation that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Diras Bal Korcha Loshma Dira, an enforced residence, is not considered a residence. Therefore, the Lushkas Parhedron was not Chayim Deraisa to have a mezuzah. The Rabbanan enacted a Chiyah Mezuzah Shul Yomer Kohen Gadol Chavish B'Beis Asurin, in order that people should not say the Kohen Gadol is locked in jail. The absence of the mezuzah would draw attention to the forced nature of his stay. All right, now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from previous Mesechtas. Number 1. Which step in the reason the Lishkas Parhedron had a mezuzah in the Rabbanim was so that it should not look like the Kohen Gadol was locked in a jail? That's on Daf Yud. Good. Number 2. Which Daf did we learn the causes of the Churban of Shiloh, Bais Rishon, and Bais Sheni? That's on Daf Tes. Good. Number 3. Which Daf did Malkus between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim whether Chokim Lahashlim when it comes to affixing a mezuzah and a kippah, a curved archway? That's on Daf Yudav. Good. Number 4. Which stuff when the Mashiach comes after Rome overruns the entire world for 9 months? That's on Daf Yud. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do we learn from Beisecha, Derech Biascha, that one affixes a mezuzah on the right side since a person enters a house right foot first? That's on Daf Yudof. Good number six. Which stuff we learned that the name of the Lishka for the Kohen Gadol was changed from Lishkas Balvate to Lishkas Parhedrin because the Kohanim were not worthy and kept changing every year like low-level appointees of a king. That's on Daf. Ches. Good number seven. Which stuff we learned over 300 Kohanim Gadolim served in Bayis Sheni, not living out their year. That's on Daf. Test. Good number eight. Which stuff we learned the Kohen Gadol does not need to wear the tzitz when he enters the inner avoda on Yom Kippur. That's on Daf. Zion. Good. Number nine. Which stuff the Malchus is whether Rome will fall into the hands of Persia or Persia will fall into the hands of Rome. That's on Daf. Yud. Good. And number 10. Which stuff the one all gates, including the gates of provinces, require mezuzahs. That's on Daf. Yudov. Good. And now the three bonus questions. Number one. Which stuff the one should not call Avraham, Avram. That's on Daf. Yud Gimel Brachos. Good. Number two. What's something going about the value of marrying a bas tam lechachim? That's on Daf. Mem Tesim Sachim. Good. And number three. Which stuff do we discuss the status of animals found wandering between Yerushalayim and Migdal Eder? That's on Daf. Chafin Shkalim. Excellent. All right. That concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.